talk about that later. The ninth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted, and do not become idolaters, even as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and perished at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you, but such a man is equal to God. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also give you a way out, that you may be able to bear it. The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, If you had known in this your day, even you, the things that are for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a rampart around you and will surround you and shut you in on every side and will dash you to the ground and your children within you and will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you have not known the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. On July 13, 1917, the three children at Fatima, during the apparition of Our Lady, were shown a vision of hell. Our Lady opened her hands, and they said it was as though rays of light came out from her hands and hit the ground, and the ground opened up, and they could see hell. They said they could see the souls, which looked like burning embers, rolling around in the flames. They could also see the demons. They said they looked like horrible animals, monsters, and they were also like embers, glowing and transparent, and they were rolling around in the flames also. They said that we would have probably died of fright at that sight if Our Lady had not promised them that she would take them to heaven. Sister Lucy says, frightened, as if to ask for help, we lifted our eyes to Our Lady, who said to us with kindness and sadness, You have seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. I shall come to ask for the communion of reparation on the first Saturday of the month. On December 10th, 1925, Our Lady fulfills her promise to come and ask for the communion of reparation. The Most Holy Virgin appeared to Sister Lucy while she was as a nun in Spain. And at her side, Our Lady's side, there was the baby Jesus, the child Jesus. And Our Lady reached out and touched, put her hand on the shoulder of Sister Lucy. It is one of the few apparitions we have where Our Lady actually touches the seer. And Sister Lucy says, in her other hand, Our Lady held her heart, which was surrounded by thorns, piercing it. And the child Jesus said to her, Have compassion on the heart of your most holy mother, covered with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce at every moment, and there is no one to make an act of reparation to remove them. Then the Most Holy Virgin said, Look, my daughter, at my heart, surrounded with thorns which ungrateful men pierce me at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. you at least try to console me and announce in my name that I promise to assist at the moment of death with all the graces necessary for salvation all those who, on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months, confess, and we can confess about a week before and a week after, receive Holy Communion, receive Holy Communion in a state of grace, recite 5 decades of the Rosary, keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the 15 mysteries of the Rosary, all with the intention of making reparation to Our Lady. This is the Communion of Reparation on the first Saturdays of the month. Sister Lucy went on to say in 1939 on the eve of World War II, she said, "Whether the world has war or peace, as in a letter, depends on the practice of this devotion." That is, devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart and the reparation. This is why I desire its propagation so ardently, especially because this is also the will of our dear Mother in Heaven. Our Lady is offended and blasphemed, and she's come asking for reparation to make up for those sins. You know, a priest asked Sister Lucy, why 5 first Saturdays? And she took it to prayer, and she received an answer. And she said, this was in, I don't have the date here. Our Lord told her, "My daughter, the reason is simple. There are 5 types of offenses and blasphemies committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity, against her divine maternity, refusing to recognize her as the mother of all men. Blasphemies of those who publicly seek to sow in the hearts of children indifference or scorn or even hatred of this Immaculate Mother. And yet offenses of those who outrage her directly in her holy images." These are the 5 offenses against our Mother. It was very sad that actually these are not very ecumenical things. For when we look at the first one, the Immaculate Conception, you know, the Catholic Church is the only branch of Christianity that actually teaches that. We know Protestants don't believe in Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, and even the Eastern Orthodox Church does not believe in Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. And at the first moment of her creation, she was free from every stain of sin. This was her great privilege, to be immaculate. And so there are people who blaspheme against this. They consider themselves Christians, and yet they offend our Mother, their Mother. Blasphemies against her perpetual virginity. This was defined at the Council of Ephesus, 351, if I remember correctly, 351 AD. Virgo prius ac posterius. That is, Mary was a virgin physically before the birth of Christ, during the birth of Christ, and after the birth of Christ. This is, again, a miraculous gift to Our Lady. This is from the very early time of the Church, and yet people reject this. This is a great honor for her. Blasphemies against Our Lady's divine maternity. You know, Mary is, of course, both virgin and mother, so we have blasphemies against her virginity, and then blasphemies against her maternity. You know, the general teaching is that when Our Lady gave birth to Christ, she didn't suffer any pain because she was free from sin, right? In the book of Genesis, it is this pain of childbearing, which is one of the punishments for sin. So since Our Lady was not under that curse, then she didn't suffer when giving birth to Christ. But it was at the foot of the cross at which she became the mother of all men, mother of all of us, spiritually. And there she did suffer. That's when the sword of sorrow pierced her heart, when she stood there and watched her son, of course, be crucified. And she was the, people railed against her, the soldiers. We have some mystics who saw the soldiers saying to her things like, "If you had only been a better mother, we wouldn't be here crucifying your son," and just adding to her suffering. They say the soldiers showed her before they nailed Our Lord, they showed her the nails and said, "Look what we're going to do." And they also offended her greatly. And that is when she became, of course, that suffering which she had was her way of becoming the mother of all of us. This is in reference to, of course, her co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. This all ties together. I'm not going to talk about that here, but it all ties together. And then there are blasphemies as those who seek to sow in the hearts of children indifference to Our Lady, scorn or even hatred. You know, I remember in the 70s hearing people, in the 80s even, hearing people talk about veneration of Our Lady and saying that, oh, that's not as important these days. You don't really have to do that. That's, you know, the old ways, and we don't have to do that anymore. Even in the Catholic Church, unfortunately. And then there are others, Protestants, and even still some Catholics, who don't believe that it's really that important to have devotion to Our Lady. And then there are offenses against those who, against her directly in her holy images. I don't think I need to talk about some of the recent things about museums having images of Our Lady and blaspheming them or, you know, outraging them as a form of art. I remember a case, it was probably been about 20 years ago in Brooklyn, but you know, there was a case here in North County. Remember this about 6 months ago, I think. Someone put up an image of Our Lady Guadalupe on a surfboard. She's on a surfboard. And initially people are saying, well, you know, that's kind of nice, you know, it shows, you know, it's kind of nice that she's there and, you know, it's, you know, it gets people thinking about her. No. No. Our Lady crushes the head of the serpent with her heel. Every time she comes with a serious message. Serious message for all of us. And to put her image on a surfboard to replace that serpent that she crushes with a surfboard is making light of her and her mission. It's very sad, the fact that that incident is taken so lightly, that happened right here recently. And so Our Lady comes and she asks for reparation for these offenses against her. God desires devotion to her Immaculate Heart. This was her message at Fatima. You know, oftentimes people will do the first five Saturday devotions and they just kind of punch it out. Did the first five Saturdays, I get those graces, now what's next? And they don't have the right attitude. That is, Our Lady gives us those graces, she promises those graces, but it's in hopes that we would continue to do them. Yes, it's a good thing to do the first five Saturdays so that Our Lady would then be there to help you at your death. But also, that is for us to receive something. But a more pure love for Our Lady is to do it without expecting that in return. So after one does the first five Saturdays, it would be good to continue doing it to alleviate the sufferings of Our Lady. And that is a more pure love towards Our Lady. Now, I'm talking about this now because we have this great event coming with the International Pilgrim Virgin statue, which will be here in our church. And so we'll have the statue here. And I hope that everyone will be able to spend some time and pray to Our Lady and make reparation. I've asked that we do 3,750 Hail Marys during the time she's here. I wanted to make it 4,000, but we calculated out the time, and we might make it, so we cut it down. That's 75 rosaries we want to do to Our Lady in reparation for the indifferences, the outrages, and the blasphemies against her. She's come and asked for this. And yet her message today is greeted with indifference. So I ask you to sign up, to spend some time. It's going to be an all-night vigil, and of course the greatest sacrifices will occur at 2 and 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, oftentimes when the greatest sins are occurring. But I ask you all to spend some time in order to make that reparation to Our Lady. Now, unfortunately, every time I talk about the Immaculate Heart of Mary in Fatima, I have to add this little commercial. Because inevitably, someone will come up to me afterwards and begin talking to me about and talking about how Our Lady said the Pope needs to do this, and priest X, Y, and Z says the Pope hasn't done it, and gee, Father, we really need to get the Pope to do this, and it's so important, and it has to be done. And I'm here to say, you're wasting your time. Don't talk to me about that. I'm not going to hear it. And you know why? And this just gets me upset. Because it's a red herring from the devil. If Our Lady wants the Pope to do it, she can get someone to do it. When she puts us in a position to maybe influence the Pope and to say something, if it hasn't occurred, then she'll do it. But people go around and get excited about this and spend all their energies on this, and you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. She's asked us to make reparation to her. And so when people do this, they're wasting their time and they're being diverted from the true message, and that is to make reparation for sins against her. They spend time and effort and try to distribute publications. I'm sorry, but it's true. Now, that's not to say that this thing isn't important, but I'm tired of hearing about it. Until people start coming and truly making reparation and really trying to spread the devotion of the first Saturdays, you're being deceived by the devil. He can take a truth and twist it around. And that's what happens. And I'm sorry for getting passionate about this, but I am passionate about Our Lady, especially these offenses against her. And so again, I ask you all to come. I think there'll be a table outside for you to sign up and to spend some time in order to make reparation and to just spend, as she says, spend some time with her with the intention of making reparation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.